Can you hear me? Which are you going to use? Are you going to use this or that? I have this on. Hear myself. That, ooh, that's a little much. Okay, we'll get this left. It's about right. Okay. Made when he looked down there and he saw that there were not just one, but five different scriptures for him to read. And I told him, don't worry, I'm only going to have you read one of those. So he's going to start off with Psalm 107, 28 through 36. And you might get, we're talking about salt today. So
Psalm 107, 28 to 36. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of his people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water and parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry live. And they established a town to live in.
Can I have a volunteer to read the next scripture? And you're going to have to look it up, or unless we have that on, could have that on the screen, okay? Because I didn't need to make those preparations. Everybody might have access to a Bible somewhere, probably. And I don't really care which scripture, which you use. You want?
This is 2 Kings 2, 19 through 22, I think. Now the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord sees, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful." He said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him, and then they went to the spring of water and threw salt in it and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have made this water wholesome. Henceforth, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it." So the water has been wholesome to this day, according to the word which Elisha spoke.
And then we have James 3. Verses 5 through 12. I think Matt is going to volunteer for that one.
I got that one. This is from the NIV version. "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, and a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water."
And could I have a volunteer for the Colossians scripture? That's Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Okay? Yeah. You might need to read from the mic up here, Lois, because that way people can hear on Zoom. Yeah. You have to get fairly close to this mic.
Okay.
Or else it's going to feedback probably.
Okay. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly, as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. I see a pattern here.
I almost don't need to read this one. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can it be good for anything but is thrown on the ground and trampled underfoot? You are the light of the world. As a city built on a hill cannot be hid, but after lighting a lamp, you do not put it under a bushel barrel or a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven.
Thank you, everyone. My mic off, sorry. So we all kind of take salt for granted here in Hutchinson, don't we? Living on top of one of the largest in the world. But when I hear the word salt, a lot of times I think of a person that's salty, you know. And what do you think of when you hear the term "they're salty"? You know, there may be a little bit of a character. They're fun to be around, probably. They probably don't have a filter, maybe. Filter, anyway, for words. So that probably goes against the James scripture, you know, being seasoned with salt. Because if you overpower things with salt, what happens? You can't hardly. I'm surprised that we weren't presented with something that was really salty that you couldn't hardly stand today, you know. And I'm glad I had a little bit of water there when I was eating those chips. But actually, I was going to say that potato chip we ate first still had a little bit of salt to it, because potatoes do have some salt in them. Our bodies have salt in them. I was reading about that this week. 0.04% of our body mass is salt. So 4/10 of 1% is. My weight's about 220, so I would have about 13 ounces of salt in my body if you were to condense me all down. But I remember one of my first experiences with salt that I can remember when I was a kid, and that's my brother John would come home every holiday mostly. He was at the blind school up in Kansas City, and that was a joyous thing for him to come home. Most of the times earlier, it was before I could even remember, and he came home on the train. I remember a few times he came home and went back to Kansas City on the train, but the last couple of times were really special. And I think I was about 7, maybe almost 8, just learning to read good, and I was reading everything in sight. And John came home on the plane, airport. And at the airport at that time, and I don't think it's still there because I think it's in South Hutch, this exhibit of a huge block of salt there, that salt mine. And it was in this little parapet. It was sitting on this little parapet, and there was this little chain, just a single chain around it, you know, didn't keep anybody out. And so I was curious about it, and so I went up there and I read the plaque, and it's 1,260 pounds, I think, because that's what the one weighs out here. And I think it's the same block of salt, actually, or the same chunk of salt that they mine, that carry mine from the earth. And I read there, and then my curiosity got the best of me, because I'm like, salt, because and it came from a shaker. And so, well, either that or it was a big salt block that we put out for the cows, but either way, I crawled underneath that chain, and I saw this little hollowed out spot, and it was about an inch deep. And you can all imagine what that was. Well, it was probably from kids like me licking their finger and seeing if that was salt or not, because over the years it had gotten worn and worn and worn. And, you know, after 40 years of doing that, why, there was a little hole that was down in there. And so I put my finger in there, and it was salty. And my dad caught me doing that. He said, "You'll get sick, you do that, boy, because you don't know how many germs are in there. You know how many kids have been and putting their finger in there." And so I got a chewing out for that. But that just came to my mind. One of the things that came to my mind. And of course, there are times when we're all isolated from others by disease. We isolate ourselves when we're sick. When we have, well, of course, we can all recall what happened several years ago when the coronavirus started, and we all kept away from each other or tried to. And many of us felt lonely and anxious and depressed, and we wanted to get back together again. We wanted some kind of a vaccination, some miracle where we could actually do the things we had done before and get together and worship together, and yet some things happened good from that. And we have people that would not normally be able to be here that are on Zoom that can fellowship with us, and so that's a good thing. And so I'm thankful for that. So there are always good things that come from bad, I think. And so we did get a vaccination. And for some of us it worked, and for others maybe it didn't work. But do you remember the last time you were vaccinated for something? Perhaps for tetanus. I know in a while, about every 5 or 6 years I get one of those, a booster. Or flu shot, possibly. Or shingles. We vaccinate our children to preserve their bodies and ward off rubella and measles and polio. And I remember not looking forward to those jabs when I went to the doctor, but they were necessary too. So we think about salt also and how we're given that little vaccine and it changes our bodies a little bit so that we can resist. We think about salt as well, as it's referred to in the Bible, as both a sweetening and a preserving agent. Old Testament sacrifices were often salted. They were offered. And of course, we know the story of the read today about the prophet Elijah and how he used salt to sweeten the bad. And we all have softens our water in our homes, and that uses salt to sweeten the water. We also know that salt was a precious commodity. Today we are blessed with so much salt, and we sprinkle it on our roads and whatever. But in those days, we heard the term, "He wasn't worth his salt," or "She wasn't worth their salt," and we think of that. And where did that come from? And actually, it comes from salt as a wage that some of the soldiers were given. They were given a portion of salt, because salt, our body doesn't make salt. We lose salt over time, and so it has to be replenished. So anyway, we come on then to the part, the scripture that I probably like the best, and that's the one in the Sermon on the Mount. where it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? And that's the whole thing. Salt has to be replenished into our bodies. And Jesus is that salt. Just like our bodies need salt of the earth for our spirits to thrive, we need Jesus in our lives to continue to be that salt in our lives. So are there any of you that are suffering or enduring pain right now? Is there anything sour, troubling, or unfruitful in your lives? Is your personal health compromised? Are there some bitter or strained relationships with people? Is your employment situation stressful? I can relate to that one a little bit. Amid life's sour and bitter experiences, Jesus comes to sweeten and refresh us through his healing word. Because we are God's own dear children, baptized, washed, and salted in Christ. And so this Lenten season, this walk that we take, reminds us that Jesus died on Calvary's cross to vaccinate us completely from sin and eternal death. God is not distant, but promises to deliver us from all of our troubles and to heal those things most broken in life. Christ came to preserve and to keep, and ancient people of God used salt to preserve meat and other food so it would last longer. Christ was salted and offered up for you, and we are baptized into him. And therefore, death holds no power over us. Our lives are preserved under the shelter of his wings. See, because even this temporal life, even if it ends, even if this life, this physical life ends, because we get sick and die at one point or other in our lives, our hope is not in this physical life. Since Jesus rose from the dead on Easter, this weak mortal body is promised to be raised as a pure spiritual body. That means we are really living a life that is truly preserved forever. Our body requires salt, and it needs replenished continually. Salt is not in us. And God gives salt to us just as Elijah placed the salt in the water to sweeten the spring for drinking. So when a Christian dies, he or she is promised to be with the Lord forever. Because of that, we read the words of comfort and dwell on God's promise of life in Christ. That is what St. Paul says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's Colossians 3:16. So, let's be a little bit salty characters. Not in a negative way, but in a positive respect. Our saltiness literally makes us hopeful and joyful and appealing to anyone who sees or knows us. Christ's word is a source of sweetening and the seasoning in life. And that's all I have to say. But I would kind of open any of you that you have been reflecting on, or maybe some words that I said, or maybe a scripture that we read just now that you might have some words to offer as well.
Boy, howdy, when Judd talked about when food has too much salt in it, I had experience not long ago with eating some leftovers at home. And we had leftover chili, and chili is one of those things that no matter how many times you heat it up, it gets better and better each time you heat it up, at least in my opinion. Well, we were at the end of a bag of those oyster crackers, you know, those little oyster crackers. And what did I do? I made the mistake of just dumping them from the bag into the, and I took a taste of that chili. It's like, oh, man, that's a little bit too much salt. So I made sure to stir the soup really, really good. And I was able to get through it, but it was, ooh, just a little bit too much salt. And I have a confession to make as well. When it comes to salt, I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember when fast food restaurants actually had shakers on their table. They had a salt shaker and they had a pepper shaker. Well, there was some characters that did some things that weren't so nice. And I have to admit that my friends and I, when I was a child, was one of those types of people where they would take the salt shaker lid and unscrew it just so it was sitting on top. And the next person that would come in to put salt on their fries, the lid would fall off and a bunch of salt would go on their fries, which is a mean thing to do to somebody. And I think the whole point of that is that as Christians, yes, we need to be salt for the people around us, but we can't pour it on too thick, or we're going to make people go, that doesn't taste good. Get away from me. And I think in the culture that we're in right now, I think that means that we need to be listening as much as we talk, or maybe twice as much, because, you know, God gave us two of these ears and only one mouth. So, and I think many times we just talk past one another, particularly on certain issues, and we need to learn to listen and truly listen and not think about what am I going to do to say to try to rebut them and say, no, that's not right. Just listen and hear where they're coming from. And I think that's part of being salt is knowing when to speak and knowing when to be quiet and listen.
I didn't expect at all to think about this, but when we were in junior high, Coach told us that salt pills were good for us. And there was no limit. I mean, there was this big bottle of salt pills. And I don't know how many we took, but Gary, how many can you get salt poisoning or not? We didn't get sick, thank goodness. But we sure thought 8 or 10 salt tablets was better than one, and it couldn't have been. But relating to that, salt always tastes the same. Salt's pretty dependable to be what it is. And I was on jury duty probably 15 years ago, and when we were sworn in, the judge asked us to swear or affirm that we would be honest, I guess. I forget exactly what we were saying. But he was very careful, or she was very careful, to say you can affirm that. And Christians and brethren believe that anything you say is an affirmation. It should be honest. And you don't have to swear by anything, you affirm, and that is what you believe, at least, or what you know to be right. And I took that as a compliment, that they were sensitive to that point of view on being honest. So that's being salt. That's being the same all the time, speaking what's right, but not in a way that offends people.
When I was growing up, I would take things to the fair, make things and take them to the fair. And one of the things that I took was bread. And I can't remember if I took this loaf of bread or not, but I went through the trouble of making this bread, and it was just, I just couldn't wait to taste it. And I took a taste of it, and it was awful. I went back through the recipe and I forgot the salt. And you wouldn't believe how much flavor salt adds to bread. And so we didn't throw it away. We kept salting the bread as we would eat it. I don't think it ever did go to the fair. And then I remember a T-shirt that I made for Hachai, and it had a hawk plus salt equals salt hawk. And on the back it says, "We add the flavor." And so, and that's true. Salt does add the flavor to people. Anyway, that's what I had.
Did you know that the book of James, that Martin Luther wanted to take it out of the Bible? He didn't like it because it was too practical. It told us how to live. And in the Church of the Brethren, we think it's a marvelous book because it defines for us how to live. And so that verse there on the brackish water and the good water cannot come out of the same pipe. And I don't know how many times I have said something and I want to put it back in. It's like the tube of toothpaste, and it won't go back in. So the reminder is to watch before you say the things to make sure you have the sweet water flowing.
Well, I don't see anyone else, so I'll think we'll just go on then to the next hymn, which is